comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Well, I don't know why that's happening. I have no idea why that's happening. Anyway, welcome to the show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to be here. I truly am. And, I look at every day as another opportunity to have a positive impact on the cosmos. And I certainly hope that that's what we accomplish. I hope that's what I accomplish. And it's a delight to me to know that I got here to today and you're in the cosmos with me. Thanks for being here. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. Now, you know, I am one of the organizers of the Alternative Universe Eye Conference. Now, these eye conferences, we set out to do six of them. We've done three. We're halfway done. Some of you are still sitting on your thumb saying, well, I don't know if I really want to try that. And some of you actually have tried it, and you know that it's way worth more than the $10 ticket. After these six, I don't know that there's going to be any more. And so, you know, if you are sitting around on your thumb wondering, well, I don't know, you know, you need to have, you know, a stroke of genius and do it. Just do it once and see what you've been missing by not doing it. We have one coming up in June. It's going to be fantastic. It really is. Dr. Brooks Agnew is scheduled to be with us. Jerry Wills is going to be with us. We have some more people that have not yet nailed down that they are going to be with us, but they will. And so it's going to be a great conference. The tickets are not on sale at this point, but when they go on sale, what is there to think about? Just do it. It's $10. For crying out loud, you can't go to a conference anywhere else in the world for $10. And we bring you top-notch information, great presentations, and you need to save your pennies right now, get your $10 together, and be ready to do this. It's $10. Only $10. Speaking of only, you know, we are 100% listener supported. None of the money from the iConferences comes to the Kevin Smith Show. And as a matter of fact, they're not actually connected, except that I host the Kevin Smith Show, and I'm one of the organizers of the iConferences. Other than that, they're not connected. This show is 100% listener-supported, and that means if you want us to keep being able to bring you the information we bring you, you need to step up and help support. Join our members community. It's only $7.50 per month, and you get a lot of great stuff for it. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome to tonight's excursion into the world of the strange and unexplained. And tonight's excursion into the world of the strange and unexplained is a dive into a black hole in some information. And it's possibly, all black holes in information are important. There's a reason for them. Some of them are really important. Some of them maybe not so important. I'll leave it to you to decide what you think about this. I'm going to be talking about tonight things that we know. And then we'll be, I'm not going to be talking about things I believe. I'm going to talk with you about things that we know. And it has to do with something that I reported to you on about a year ago. You may remember about a year ago I did a series of shows, I think about three shows, in which I presented to you the facts about how new astronomical discoveries are made public or are suppressed. I documented for you the process, and I documented for you the names of the agencies that are involved in that process. I also documented for you the name of the agency that sits at the top of it all and regulates what the public is told or not told about astronomical discoveries. I even use their own documents and revealed to you that several minor planets had been discovered in our solar system, but they had made the decision to, and it, I quoted from them, they used the word, they had made the decision to suppress this information. And they didn't even inform their own members of this. Now, I said at the time there must be something important about those minor planets for the Astronomical Union to have made the decision to suppress the information that they had been discovered. There must be something really important about those planets, something they don't want you to know. Well, I think you have a right to know. I wish that I knew the details of what it is that makes those planets so important they had to be suppressed. But I think there were three minor planets, there may be four minor planets, they discovered, and astronomers discovered, and the Astronomical Union that year in their, and this was from several years ago, I mean the document was from several years ago, and the Astronomical Union made the decision and published this in their annual report that they made the decision to suppress that information. And that's a quote. And so I wish I knew the details about why those were so important they needed to be suppressed. But I don't know those details. What we're going to talk about tonight, though, is linked to those reports that I brought you about a year ago. And it's a little bit more than mysterious. I mean, in my opinion, it's way more than mysterious. The Astronomical Society of America held a conference in Oregon, May the 6th through May the 10th, this month. And at this conference, they had, of course, a slate of speakers. Now, if you went to their website prior to the web page that had all the program and everything on it, if you went to it prior to May the 9th, you would have seen the name of Dr. Rodney Gomez. I almost said Raymond. Dr. Rodney Gomez. Now, who is that? Well, for those who are watching our TV channel, I would show you his picture, except there are no pictures of this man on the internet. I've searched long and hard for several hours using many, many different search engines, including academic search engines. There are no pictures of this man on the internet. But Dr. Rodney Gomez is an astronomer at the his home base, where I guess you could say that's where he is, that's where he works, is at the National Observatory of Brazil. And he did his postdoctorate work at Cornell University, where he is also a visiting professor. Now, we'll come back to Dr. Rodney Gomez in just a moment, but let's go, and I'll detail for you just who he is. But let's go back to this conference. This conference was held May the 6th through the 10th in Oregon, and I think it was at a place called Timberline Lodge. Dr. Rodney Gomez was one of the speakers at this conference, and he truly is a heavyweight in astronomy. Like I said, I'll detail that for you in just a moment. His name apparently appeared on the webpage of the invited speakers, and that was before he spoke. Now, that webpage can be found at http://dda.harvard.edu/meetings/2012. And you can go to that page and you can read all about this conference and who's going to be there and what they're going to be speaking on. It's got the schedule and all of that. But over on the right-hand side of that page, if you scroll down, you will see a list of invited speakers. However, the list you will see is the list that went up on May the 9th. Prior to that, Dr. Rodney Gomez was an invited speaker. Now, they didn't cancel him. That's not what happened here. What happened here is that Dr. Rodney Gomez spoke. He gave a presentation. And this presentation that he gave pretty much rocked the world. It was reported on by National Geographic Daily News, and it says the object's unexpected orbits have, and that's not plural, yeah, it is plural, the object's unexpected orbits have a few possible explanations, said Gomez, who presented his findings Tuesday at a meeting of the American Astronomical Society in Timberline Lodge, Oregon. Now, this is an article that you can find on the internet. It's a National Geographic article. It's written by Richard A. Lowett in Timberline Lodge, Oregon, for National Geographic News, and this was published on May the 11th. So, Tuesday, that it refers to, is May the 8th. So Dr. Gomez actually did do his presentation. And then, the next day, that website that I was talking about was updated. On May the 9th, this website that I've been talking about was updated, and Dr. Rodney Gomez's name is missing from the list of speakers. What in the world did this guy say at the American, what is it, the Astronomical Society of America? What is it that he said at their conference They got his name removed after he spoke. Now, that's definitely a black hole in information, isn't it? I mean, he was there on the list. He was there at the conference. He spoke at the conference. It was reported on by National Geographic, and his name his name gets taken off the list. Now, that's a black hole in information right there. What in the world did this guy say at the Astronomical Society conference that got his name removed after he spoke? Well, it's a little bit late. For those at the Astronomical Society, let me tell you, it's a little bit late to be doing that kind of stuff because what he said already got reported. And so everybody knows he was there. Everybody knows he spoke. And, you know, just you're standing there with eggs on your face. And, you know, you just look foolish. So you may as well, you know, tell the truth about who spoke there. Put it back on your website. Tell the truth about it because you can't get out of this. It's already been done. It's already been said. It's already been reported on. And I'm talking about it tonight. And with me talking, National Geographic published it. So that went all around the world. And with me talking about it tonight, it's going all around the world. So you may as well just go ahead, man up, put it back on your site. Because we all know. And those who don't know are about to know. Now, for those of you who are about to know, let me tell you, Dr. Rodney Gomez is a very serious astronomer. You know, you don't get to be a visiting professor at Cornell University unless you are serious. He is an astronomer at the National Observatory in Brazil. I have confirmed that. You can confirm it as well. He's a visiting professor at Cornell University. There is in Brazil a scholarship named for him, the Rodney da Silva Gomez Scholarship. He has published over 40, in fact 41, I think, peer-reviewed papers. Do you know that most scientists, you know, if they get like 2, 3, 5 peer-reviewed papers published in their lifetime, that's significant. He's got 41. And then he is cited or quoted, his work is cited, in over 1,000, I think it's about 1,200 actually. But he's cited over 1,000 times in other people's articles and papers, and peer-reviewed articles and papers. So he is definitely not a lightweight. Furthermore, when we talk about who is this guy, this is from one of the academic search engines. He is one of the scientific journal referees he's one of the referees for scientific journals. Now, let's talk about which scientific journals. How about Nature in London? Science Journal, Science Magazine. Icarus. Earth, Moon, Planets. I mean, you know, you can read the list if you're looking at the screen. The Astrophysical Journal. These are major league scientific journals, and he is one of the scientific referees at these places, at these journals. In other words, if you are an astronomer or an astrophysicist, and you submit a paper to one of these scientific journals that he's a referee at, you want to have a peer-reviewed paper, you want it peer-reviewed, and you want it published. He's one of the people that decides whether that's going to happen or not. This is no lightweight. So how does a guy like that get taken off of the list, get taken off of the program after he's already spoken? what in God's name did this guy say? Well, ladies and gentlemen, what in God's name this guy got up and said is pretty interesting. There may be a link, actually, to something that was said in front of six daily newspapers in a press conference by a NASA scientist in 1983. In 1983, Dr. Gary, and I know I won't pronounce this right, but I think it's Neugebauer. Dr. Gary Neugebauer said he was the chief scientist on the IRIS. The IRIS, I-R-A-S, was an infrared telescope on a satellite. And he said something really amazing. He said that they had discovered something. The Washington Post wrote it up this way. A heavenly body, possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter and possibly so close to Earth that it would be part of this solar system, has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the U.S. infrared astronomical satellite. Now, he did not, there are people that say he claimed that they had found Planet X. He didn't do that. He didn't say they had found Planet X. He said basically what I just read to you. That was not a quote from him. That was the newspaper summarizing what he said. But they had found something, and they thought it's big, possibly as big as Jupiter, and it's in the direction of the constellation Orion. And it's close enough that it could be part of this solar system. Now, after he reported on that, nothing else was said. After he reported about that, and he really did, he really stood in front of six newspapers and reported that in a press conference. And those who are watching, you've just seen a newspaper clipping of the Washington Post report on that. He really did say it. He really did not claim that it was Planet X. But a lot of people read that into it. A lot of people read Planet X into it. There was an official position on that later, and we're going to have to step away for a break. But when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about what that official position was on what had been found. And then we'll get back to Dr. Rodney Gomez.
Listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about this Astronomical Society of America conference that was held at Timberline Lodge, Oregon, May the 6th through the 10th, and we're talking specifically about the report, the presentation that was given by Dr. Rodney Gomez. And I've already documented for you his background, who he is. This guy in astronomy is a heavyweight worldwide. And he's not just somebody out there on the fringe. This guy's a heavyweight. But you remember, I started off by saying that a year ago I did a series of shows where I revealed to you and reported to you and documented for you who is in charge of the information that does make it out to the public, or who makes the decision to suppress information about astronomical discoveries worldwide. the Astronomical Union at its core, I mean, if you follow the money, I think I'm correct in saying that its single largest financial support comes from the United States government, the National Science Foundation. I think that's its largest underwriter. But that's who makes the decision. Now, there's a special protocol that takes place if there's anything discovered out there that shows any signs of intelligent extraterrestrial life. If you remember that series of shows, you remember that I showed you their documents, and I put them up on the screen. I talked about them. I read them to you. And this special protocol that takes place has to do with before anything is released to the public, this protocol has to happen. Everybody in the whole world gets informed before the public. Even the Pope gets informed. Now, who wrote this protocol? You may remember. SETI. SETI wrote this protocol. That's who sits at the top of the pyramid here. If there's anything discovered that shows any signs of intelligence before the public can be told, you know, the President of the United States is told, Vladimir Putin would be told, the Pope would be told, certain special committees of Congress in the United States would be told, certain groups of scientists would be called together, and they would confer, and they would issue out their report to these groups and people. All of that happens before a decision is made whether to tell you. And SETI wrote the protocol. It's their protocol. But that is what kicks in if there is an astronomical discovery part of that discovery shows anything to do with intelligence. In other words, if they actually find ruins, they find a spaceship, they get a signal that is intelligent from out there, they find a planet that's inhabited, not just inhabitable, but inhabited, all of that falls into the category of showing intelligence, intelligent life. And if an astronomical discovery is made that has any component that shows intelligent life out there, then this protocol kicks in. And it's Protocol 10, SETI's protocols. And that's what happens before any decision is made about whether to let the public know. So you might remember, in starting the show tonight, I reminded you that in that series of shows about a year ago, I had presented to you the documentation. As a matter of fact, at that time, I even put a link up where you could go download that documentation for yourself. It was the Astronomical Union annual report, and I forget for which year, but in that report, which, by the way, that was found for us by Robert Morningstar, who is editor of UFO Digest. He is the one who found that documentation and made me aware of it, and thanks to him. But that documentation says that three, four, six, a small number of minor planets had been discovered in our solar system, and that the Astronomical Union had decided to, and I quote, suppress publication of that information. That's in their annual report. And I ask the question then, as I ask now, why? What is it about those minor planets that would cause that information to get suppressed? All right, remember I said we're not going to talk about tonight what I believe, but what we know. All right, belief and knowledge are not the same thing, folks. And, you know, even last night we got into a hairy discussion because of someone not quite seeing the difference between a belief and a fact. Belief and knowledge. It's like apples and oranges, like gasoline and water. It takes both. You know, I mean, if you don't have both, you're functionally insane. You're dysfunctional if you don't have both. However, belief fits one tank and knowledge fits another tank. Just like on your car, water goes into one tank, it's called a radiator, and gasoline or petrol goes into another tank. If you put water in the petrol tank, in the gasoline tank, if you put water in there, yes, your car requires water, but if you put it in the gas tank, you're not going very far because it's going to screw up your engine. You can't burn it. It won't work. It only works if you plug it in, if you put it into the right place. So when you pour water in the radiator, that's where it goes. You pour gasoline, petrol, benzene into that tank, that's where that goes. And then your car works fine. So when I ask the question, why did they suppress publication of those six minor planets, or four minor, whatever it was, when they decided to suppress that, why? Well, their actions fit with their protocol for whether to publish information about having found signs of intelligent life. That is a fact. That's not a belief, that's a fact. It matches that protocol. But it's not a fact that I can say that is why they did it. I don't know why they did it. They didn't say why they did it. But their actions fit the description of that protocol that I've been talking about. So I don't know why they suppressed information about those minor planets in this solar system. So, sticking with the facts, the fact is they did suppress it. The fact is their actions match what the protocol says they have to do. Beyond that, we would only be speculating and we'd be talking about belief. We're not going to do that. I'll leave it to you to decide what you think about that. So, 1983, we have Dr. Gary Neugebauer saying we found something out there. It's close enough to be in our solar system. It's huge. It's about the size of Jupiter. We don't know what it is. Then there was never anything heard about that again. Except the official explanation was, well, it was a distant galaxy, and because of depth of field in the data, it looked closer than it was, and it's not. It's a distant galaxy. Okay, maybe. We'll stick with what we know. We know he reported it. We know he said that it was close enough to be in the solar system. We know he said that it was about the size of Jupiter. And we know he said, the only thing is, we don't know what it is. Okay. Now, we move forward. During this same period of time, this protocol is being developed. The Astronomical Union is adopting this protocol that was developed by SETI. We're moving forward in time. We go 19 years. And in 19 years, we get up to now, almost 19 years. That was December the 30th, 1983, when he gave that press conference. So we're not quite 19 years. Because we get up to May the 6th through the 10th in Oregon. During this period of time, something else is happening that's not in the science community. What else is happening? Well, there's this guy named Zechariah Sitchin. And Zechariah Sitchin is beginning to translate some Sumerian tablets. And during this period of time, Zechariah Sitchin writes his series of books based on what he has translated from the Sumerian tablets. And he tells the world what the Sumerians had written. Now, there are scholars that challenge the accuracy of his translations. Okay. But we know what he said. We know what he translated. And basically, the Sitchin story is that, when I say the Sitchin story, I mean, you know, the translations as he's given them to us, is that the Sumerians wrote that there was a group of people or extraterrestrials that came to this planet, and they are called the Anunnaki, and that they did genetic engineering and basically created us, and that they were from a planet called Nibiru. And this planet is far, far away. It's in our solar system, but it's far, far away on a long elliptical orbit. And it comes in basically from the direction of our south pole. It doesn't, you know, the other planets orbit the sun around, pretty much around its elliptical, its elliptic or its equator, if you will. Pretty much around that. But this one doesn't come in, this Nibiru doesn't come in around the elliptic. It comes in from around the South Pole, coming from the bottom of our planet up and around the sun and back down in an elliptical orbit. A very elliptical orbit. And that it takes about 3,600 years for it to make its orbit. Now, there are people who believe Sitchin just as ardently and fervently and on the exact same level as there are people who believe either the Jewish scriptures or the Christian scriptures or the Islamic scriptures. There are people who at that level are believing Sitchin. I don't. Rest of that story when we come back from this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, as we went away for break, I said there are some people who believe Sitchin really at the same level as others believe Jesus, or as other people believe in Muhammad, or as other people believe in Hebrew or Jewish scriptures. There really are. There are people that, you know, they've put their faith and trust and eternal salvation and hope for eternal salvation in what Sitchin has to say. And I said, I don't. Now, people who are logically dysfunctional heard me say, I disbelieve Sitchin. But that's because you're logically dysfunctional, if that's what you heard. Because that isn't what I said. I said, I don't believe Sitchin. I'm sticking with what can I know and what do I not know. I know what Sitchin said. Here's what we don't know. Sitchin said that the Sumerians wrote about these Anunnaki and this planet Nibiru on a long elliptical orbit. And he gave us a lot of details about it. Here's what you don't know. You don't know because you don't read Sumerian. You don't know that he translated that right. But let's assume he did. See, I don't read Sumerian. I don't know that he translated that right. But let's assume he did. Let's assume his translations are correct. You don't know that the Sumerians were accurate with what they said. So what do we do with this information? Well, unless you're logically dysfunctional, what you do with it is you put it into the hold basket and you say, okay, that's interesting. Let's see what other information develops that might corroborate this. So in 1983, when Gary Neugebauer said what he said, it was destined to become part of the stuff that gets written about when people write about Sitchin, or gets talked about when they talk about Sitchin. And they'll point to that and they'll say, you see, there it is. Well, maybe. Maybe not. So you put that in your hold basket and you wait to see what develops. And then some minor planets are discovered. And the Astronomical Union, International Astronomical Union, published in their annual report that they had determined, had decided to, quote, suppress that information. Some minor planets in our solar system. And they decided to suppress it, not tell you, and they didn't even tell their other members about it. The only people who knew about it were the astronomers that had discovered them. It was all kept a secret. So you put that in your hold basket. And then you get to May 6 through 10, 2012, Timberline Lodge, Oregon. And there is a conference. There's a conference of the American Astronomical Society Division on Dynamical Astronomy. And there's a list of speakers. And that list of speakers are all heavyweights. Notice that you have a speaker, if you read that list, from SETI Institute. So some people, when I did that series about a year ago, wrote to me and told me, well, SETI's not involved in all that stuff. They're just involved in looking for signals, intelligent signals out there from extraterrestrials. Oh, what a naive view. SETI is up to their eyes in this stuff. And at that conference, with that list of heavyweight speakers, there is a name, Dr. Rodney Gomez. And before May the 9th, he was on the list. After May the 9th, he was not. And it's not that they canceled him. May the 8th, he gave his presentation. May the 9th, he was taken off the list of speakers, but he had already spoken. Incidentally, if you go try to find a cached page so that you can see what was up there before May the 9th, there are none. That's been scrubbed. There are no cached pages. All of that's not there. It's when I say it's been scrubbed, I'm just saying it's just not there. You can't find it. But you can find the page that I'm talking about. I gave you the link earlier. You can look and see on the list that he's not there. You can go on the internet and find at National Geographic that article that I quoted from earlier that reported about him speaking on May the 8th, and yet he's not on that list. So these are the things we know. What in God's name did he report? Well, here's what he reported. Four possible new planets in our solar system. Maybe it's the same ones the Astronomical Union had decided to suppress. But he put it out. He reported on it. And National Geographic reported what he said. So it went public. He also reported that the strange motion of objects out there in that belt beyond Pluto, the strange motion, that he had run many computer models to try and account for that, and that there was absolutely no way to account for it except a planet some four times the size of Earth on a very long elliptical orbit. Dr. Rodney Gomez, true heavyweight in astronomy, worldwide, stood in front of the American Astronomical Society in Timberline Lodge, Oregon, on May the 8th, and said that. And that got reported. It got reported by the National Geographic Daily News. I quoted from the article earlier. It's a long article. I didn't quote. The only part of the article that I quoted was the part that establishes that Dr. Rodney Gomez presented his findings Tuesday at a meeting of the American Astronomical Society in Timberline Lodge, Oregon. That's the only part that I quoted. It nails it down that he did do it. He was there. He spoke. His name's not on that list now. And what he spoke about, you can read in that article what he spoke about. And what he spoke about in his presentation revealed four new planets, or four planets. And it revealed that there, this weird motion, this weird perturbation in that belt of junk out there beyond Pluto cannot be accounted for by any of the computer models he's run. Many computer models trying to account for how that happens. And the only thing that fits it, and fits it like a glove, is that there is a planet on a very long elliptical orbit, and it's about four times the size of Earth in our solar system. So sticking with what we know that Dr. Gary Neugebauer talked about having found something massive out there, possibly as big as Jupiter. Didn't know what it was. We know that 19 years went by before there was anything else said about it. In fact, nothing else has been said about it. But 19 years of silence have gone by. No updates. We know that in that intervening time, Zechariah Sitchin came up. And when I say came up, I mean he became known publicly, worldwide, wrote his books, made his DVDs, appeared on television, appeared on talk shows, and talked about having translated Sumerian tablets that say, you know, there's another planet out there, and it's on a very long elliptical orbit. It is called Nibiru. And when it comes through, it does a lot of damage. It comes through every 3,600 years, and it does a lot of damage as it passes through. And we know, Dr. Gomez said, a planet like that has to be there. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, for those of you who are just joining us now in this second hour, welcome aboard. Delighted to have you with us. And you've missed really, I'm not joking, tons of information. Sorry for you. You'll have to catch it in our members community as a K-Pod in the archives, or you'll have to catch it as the latest show if you're going to watch it in our members community. But lots and lots of information. So here's just a recap, and I'll wrap up here in a moment and open the telephone lines for you. We're talking about not what do I believe, but what I know about this whole situation having to do with Dr. Rodney Gomez. And what I know is that there's a bunch of stuff that's been in the hold basket. For instance, the 1983 press conference where Dr. Gary Neugebauer reported as the chief scientist on the IRAS, IRIS satellite, that they had discovered something huge out there, possibly the size of Jupiter, in the direction of the constellation Orion, he said. And they didn't know what it was, but it was close enough to be in our solar system. 19 years have gone by, and there's not been another word uttered about that. We know that during that 19 years, Zachariah Sitchin came on the scene, wrote his books, told us about Nibiru and what the Sumerians had to say about it, and they said that it was on a very long elliptical orbit, and that it came through every 3,600 years. Some people dispute his translations, the accuracy of his translations. That's okay. He would dispute the accuracy of their translations. That's the way that works. Scholars do that kind of stuff. It's okay. But that's what he said, and we put all of that in the hold basket. And the reason is, you don't know that he translated accurately. You may believe he did, but you have no way to prove that unless you read Sumerian. And even if he did, if he translated it accurately, you don't know that the Sumerians were telling the truth. Not that they were lying, but you don't know that their information was accurate. You don't know that. You may believe it, but you don't know it. So we put it into the hold basket. And then along comes this real, genuine heavyweight in astronomy, Dr. Rodney Gomez from Brazil. And he is a speaker at the American Astronomical Society at their conference in Timberline, Oregon, on May the 8th. He spoke. And I want to thank National Geographic for publishing the article, because had they not, we would not even know that he spoke, because on May the 9th, the American Astronomical Society did an update to their web page about that conference, and his name was no longer there. And there is no cached page on the internet where you can go back and see that. And so my question is, why? Well, what he spoke about is why. That seems clear. He said that there were four additional planets out there in our solar system. We know the Astronomical Union, the International Astronomical Union, decided to suppress information about some minor planets that had been discovered. We know that. That's not in the hold basket. We know it because they published that in their annual report a few years ago. So we know it. So he got up and he made it public that there are four additional planets out there in this solar system. I asked the question, why did they decide to suppress that? Well, it fits with the Protocol 10, the 10 protocols of the SETI Institute, which have been adopted as what happens. The Astronomical Union kicks in those protocols if any signs of intelligence are discovered out there. And those protocols have to, they have to work through those, all 10 of them, before they decide whether they're going to tell the public. And they decided not to tell the public about those minor planets. And I said, don't know that it's because they found intelligence there. Don't know that it's because they're inhabited, but it certainly fits with that system. And then we get to May the 8th at this conference in Oregon. And May the 8th, Dr. Gomez got up and said, there are four planets out there. He made it public. Was it not approved? And he said that he had his modeling of all that space junk, all those big rocks and asteroids and junk out there in the Kuiper Belt, they have a strange, weird perturbation, a strange, weird movement. And he's been trying to figure out what could cause that. And he's run computer model after computer model after computer model after computer model. And he's been doing this now for a very long time. And the only thing that fits, it fits first time and every time, is if you have a planet four times the size of Earth on a long elliptical orbit. And he says, haven't seen it, but nothing else makes that work that way. Everything else I plug in does not make those movements of the Kuiper Belt objects. But if you plug that planet in that long elliptical orbit, it works first time, it works every time. He said, I think there's a planet there. We know about it because National Geographic Daily News published the article about it. That's how we know about it. Had we left it to the American Astronomical Society to know about it, we wouldn't know about it because they took him off their list after he said that. They took him off of their speakers list. They don't even admit he was there. But thanks to National Geographic, we know he was and that he spoke, and that we also know what he said. So, like I said, the American Astronomical Society needs to just man up and put him back on the list because we know he was there and we know what he said. You can't hide it. So here's what I want to ask you. So far, I've been talking about what we know. There are a lot of blanks at the end of the data. We have a lot of data here. We have a lot of data here. But there are a lot of blanks at the end of the data. For instance, when he plugs this planet in to his computer models, and it's four times the size of Earth, it's on a long elliptical orbit, do they not want that information out there because it fits with what Sitchin said? If that's the case, it would indicate that what Sitchin said has accuracy to it. And they don't want you to know it because it's an inhabited planet. Now, that's speculation. I'm filling in blanks at the end of the data. I know for sure what he said, Dr. Gomez, and I know for sure that they took his name off that list on May the 9th after he spoke on May the 8th. I know that what Sitchin said, and they match to some degree. They match. This I know. But the question then at the end of the data is that why they took Gomez off the list? Is that why they tried to quash the fact that he was even at the conference? Because he told us something they didn't want us to know? And why didn't they want us to know it? Is it because it matches what Sitchin says and that planet is there and that it is inhabited? Is that the case? Well, that's speculation. It sure, the dots connect. Now, I, before I open the phone lines, I do want to caution you about connecting the dots. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to show you how connecting the dots cannot be trusted all the time. And I'm going to connect some dots for you. Have you ever in your life, have you ever eaten a banana? Did you know they'll kill you? It is absolutely an established scientific fact they will kill you. And I'm going to tell you how. 100% of people who eat bananas will die. Are going to die. So I'm connecting the dots, and I'm saying, if you eat bananas, you are going to die. Therefore, eating bananas will kill you. So you see how that doesn't really work? We're all going to die. And I could have picked anything. I picked bananas. I could have said potatoes, you know. So connecting the dots doesn't always really hold water. But sometimes it does. Here's what I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about this? What do you think about what Dr. Gomez said? That the only thing that works is that planet has to be there. And is that Nibiru? And is it inhabited? Now we're getting into beliefs. That's okay. We've shifted gears now. I want to know what you think about this. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Ryan Puget Sound.
Yeah, Ryan.
I want to play the devil's advocate here.
All right.
What if there is another astronomer who's also issued a statement or a report that has another explanation?
I'm sure there are.
Does this astronomer account for the recent theories about there being two suns, living in a solar system with two suns?
Gomez did not address that.
Pardon?
Dr. Gomez did not address that.
Okay, I'm just playing the devil's advocate on it.
Well, there are astronomers that say that we are in a binary sun system.
All I'm saying is that maybe there, because there's a lot of astronomers, I'm sure that there's some other astronomer somewhere who has an alternate theory for this.
Well, I'm sure there are. But why would you take this astronomer's statements off of the program? I mean, you just take his name off of the program and not even admit he was there. Why would you do that?
Well, I don't know. But I'm just playing the devil's advocate. You need a devil's advocate in your audience, I think.
Yeah, that's fine. But see, Ryan, here's the deal. Before he got up to speak, if he had said, you know, this is a wonderful day, there would be astronomers somewhere that would say it's not. No matter what an astronomer says, there's an astronomer somewhere that's going to say something different. They know that before they speak. So,
well,
I don't see that as a reason for why they would delist his name.
Well, I don't know. I do know that Zachariah Sitchin and others have done the math on it and found out that if Nibiru does come back, it won't happen until like 2060 or 2070. So we got a ways to wait until we have to. There's some people that think that it's already here next to Jupiter, right? There's one thing we do about Nibiru. If it is out there, it's a frozen ball of ice. Do you disagree with that?
Well, I don't know. We don't know what the dynamics are on the planet. According to the Lost Book of Enki, the planet was extremely volcanic. and that it's geothermal heat is what kept them able to live when they were on their very long trip away from the sun. So, you know, we don't know what the dynamics are on that planet if it exists. If it's extremely volcanic, it could be very warm, or at least livable.
Well, I'm just playing the devil's advocate just because I kind of like playing the devil's advocate sometimes. It kind of feels good. But
yeah, it does. I do that too sometimes.
I'm not saying that. I'm just looking at, you know, all possibilities. It's an interesting story, but you know, there's probably somebody that has some other explanation for it or something, and
sure.
You have to at least look at their material. And I know you have. I'm just saying. That,
yeah, but what's under consideration here is not whether what he says is true, but is it, you know, what is it about what he said that got him taken off that list? What is it that made the American Astronomical Society try to cover up the fact that he was even there?
Well, I think it's the fact that he's like you said, that he said something controversial that's out of the quote unquote status quo. What would happen if he went up there and said something about UFOs? They would ban him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I understand your point. I understand your point completely. It's an interesting story. I hadn't heard about it before because they blacked it out just like they blacked everything out.
Well, that's why the Kevin Smith show is around.
You know, but like I said, I'll buy it when it gets a little closer to the Earth, when it gets to be, you know.
Yeah, but see, whether what he said is, whether what he said is accurate is not even the question. The point is that he said it and he got X'd off of the list after he said it. And so now the question is, okay, so why would you take him off of the list and not even admit he was there? This guy, when it comes to astronomy, this guy is the establishment.
Yeah, well, that just tells you where science and astronomy is. Like you said, if they go out of the norm, then they're kicked off the committees and mm-hmm. delisted and under the bus.
Yeah.
So, which is not right. Anyways, I'll let some other callers come in. I'm just looking at some, you know, just try playing the devil's advocate.
All right.
I kind of like being your devil's advocate, Kevin.
Well, I appreciate it. Ryan, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying that what this doctor says is accurate, all right? I'm saying he said it. And apparently that's what got him kicked off the list, even though he was actually there, and we know he was there. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming, and I have one more thing to add to your basket. But before
right.
I do that, I'd like to say that breathing is fatal. Breathing will lead to your death.
Well, that's right. It will. Breathing will kill you. You're absolutely right.
Now, I don't know if you want to include this one or not, but apparently there was an astronomer in Chile. I think he was originally from Japan. From what I understand, he was going to say something similar to what Dr. Gomez said about that extra planet.
Okay.
In the elliptical orbit. He was killed. They tried, from what I understand, they tried to make it look like a mugging at his front door. They got him to the hospital. He died 6 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't figure it. He did not have a head injury when he went into the hospital, but he died of a blunt force trauma head injury.
Hmm. See, I hadn't heard about that.
That's just one more thing to add.
And you don't remember his name?
No, I don't.
If you do find information about that, if you remember his name or whatever, and you find an article or something, send me the link on that. That's one I was not familiar with.
Okay.
All right?
But that's just one more thing to add to the basket.
Yeah, they don't want this information out there for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep. Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Breathing will kill you. Telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And I would like to hear from you what you think about this situation. I mean, here we have Mr. Establishment when it comes to astronomy. It doesn't get much more establishment than Dr. Rodney Gomez. He's a true heavyweight in the field of professional astronomy. He spoke. We know he spoke, and we know what he said. And the next day, they took his name off the list of speakers. Why? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is John from Mesa, Arizona.
Hello, John.
Well, I just had another thought to throw out there, like the last caller. You know, when you were setting the premise for all of this, you were talking about all the filters that these scientists have to go through before they release the information to the public, and many of those filters are controlled by big money and from around the world and influential groups. But they may be saving this big planet for another big scare so that they can then take more of our freedoms away like they did on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a thought. You know, fear is one of the major motivating principles in changing government.
Do you remember the shows that I did about a year ago, the ones I've been referring to, where I talked about who's in charge of this information and how it goes through these filters and who wrote the filters? You remember that series?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I long suspected that those with the money have control of the information, and much of what we are taught is filtered through or altered to fit the big money.
Yeah, well, and in this case, the big money is the National Science Foundation. I think they are the largest single contributor to the International Astronomical Union. And I'm not sure that that's true, but I think that's true. I'm trying to remember the details of all those shows that I did. I know I did about three of them. But I don't remember all the details. But the National Science Foundation is a huge contributor. And, of course, the National Science Foundation is U.S. government. And so they have a huge say in what gets released to the public and what doesn't. Internationally, they have a huge say on that because of the fact that they are deep pockets for the International Astronomical Union.
Right, and much of the stuff that goes out has to be paid for by advertising or by groups that have controlled, you know, the Science Foundation.
John, we have to take a break. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, we'll be back, folks, right after this.
States of America, and you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on earth.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. Let's go back to the telephone. We have John from Mesa, Arizona. John, we kind of got cut off by the break, and I wanted you to be able to complete your thought.
Well, you know, what I was going to, as I know you know who John Anthony West is, and the special that Charlton Heston did featuring many of the things that big money and Scientific America and those people who control the information have buried, and much they buried as much as they have told us about. For instance, the massive navies of China prior, you know, to the 1400s that did trade all over the West Coast between whatever islands and west coast settlements there might have been. The giant footprints down in Texas that were unearthed under slabs of stone that were later said to be faked.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to fake them when they're between layers, strata. You know.
Yeah, that makes it a difficult trick. And if if they could do that.
So, what about Dr. Rodney Gomez? He got up and told some things. It got reported by National Geographic, and the next day they took his name off that list of invited speakers. After he spoke, what do you think's up with that?
Well, knowing the way I feel about those who are in control of the information that gets out, I would say that Dr. Gomez was factual and true in what he was saying, and he just didn't check with the controlling body to make sure that they had Mother May Eyes in order before they did that. And I keep looking for somewhere down the road where this information will come out and they will try to use it to their advantage. And like I mentioned earlier, I think that they seek control through massive fear, and the best way to do that is to keep people uninformed and then drop it on them all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, you know, the only protocols that I'm aware of that the International Astronomical Union uses for suppressing information would be the protocols where they've discovered something that is evidence of intelligence. Those are the only protocols I know of that the International Astronomical Union has whereby they suppress information. So it would seem to me, you know, when they suppressed the discovery of these minor planets, it would seem to me that it fits with, okay, they must be inhabited. Something about those planets indicates intelligence, or they wouldn't have suppressed it. I can't say that's for sure the case, but that it seems to fit that.
Well, it's logical with what we already know about some of the moons around Jupiter. The gravitational pull and the flexing of the planets create frictional heat, which they assume has liquid water underneath some of the frozen surfaces of the moons there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if this large planet's coming in and has several large moons circulating around it and flexing it, it could be generating internal heat and creating an environment for people to survive on.
I have to say, this particular black hole in the information, John, is most curious. I mean,
it doesn't leave a lot of area for speculation.
Not much, and it's pretty blatant in that, yeah, he was there, he spoke, and that's well documented, and what
right.
he said is well documented, and then they take his name off the list. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
That is weird. John, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Now, if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can call that number. It will work internationally. However, we do understand that it can be expensive to make an international phone call. And because of that, if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, we have an additional option where you can get in touch with us and participate in the conversation. And that additional option is to use the flash message option on my website. So you just go over there and scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. And right above it, you see a link that says flash message. So if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can use that option. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. I have, two hypotheses behind this doctor. One is that he doesn't have evidence of this planet.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. His evidence is the motion of the bodies in the Kuiper Belt. And he's used every possible combination of things to try and account for that motion, and nothing accounts for it except a planet four times the size of Earth on a long elliptical orbit. That accounts for it, and it causes, in his computer models, it causes exactly the motion you see through the telescope. So his evidence is the motion of those bodies in the Kuiper Belt. And it's just like, Terry, when they say, well, we've discovered a new planet out there in another star system. They don't see it with a telescope. What they see is the gravitational wobble of the star that tells them the planet's there.
It could be asteroids.
No. Asteroids are not big enough to make a star wobble.
Oh, what star?
Every single planet that they've discovered that's not in our solar system, there's only one that they've seen with a telescope. Every other one, there's 1,700 of them now, and how do they tell they're there? There's two ways. One way is they observe the wobble of the star as that planet makes its way around the star. And they can tell by the amount of wobble what the size of that planet is and its relative distance from that star. Any star. All of those planets that are exoplanets. All of them. That's how they know they're there. There's one other method. And that is, as the planet passes in front of the star, they cannot see the planet with a telescope. They can see the star. And so what happens is there is just a very minute dimming of the light from that star as that planet passes. And by the amount of dimming, they can tell the size of the planet, and they can tell about how far it is from the star. They don't see the planet. So the same kind of evidence is what he's presenting here.
Mars or anything close in that area.
I have no idea what you mean. What say it again.
Mars, the planet Mars.
Yeah.
It's close to the Kuiper Belt, or are you talking?
No. The Kuiper Belt is beyond Pluto.
Oh, I see. So they don't see any difference with Pluto?
No. Pluto is not disturbing the Kuiper Belt, but out in the Kuiper Belt, Pluto is not like hanging out at the edge of the Kuiper Belt. The Kuiper Belt's way out beyond Pluto. But out in the Kuiper Belt, they can see the perturbation, the change in the movement of Kuiper Belt objects. Now, those objects, some of them are almost as big as Pluto. But they can see that perturbation. It has a pattern to it. And in the using the same kind of method where they find planets around other stars, using that same kind of evidence, the only thing that fits is there's another planet. And it's four times the size of Earth, and it's in a long elliptical orbit. That's what Dr. Gomez says. And
did you hear about that satellite that they put out there for exploration of other planets? explain it, but they used it all. They used all the fuel up to observe, supposedly, a planet that they found.
Yeah. Man, what was that thing called? I forget what it's called. I know exactly what you're talking about. What was that? I mentioned that on the show when that happened. And that was like 6 months ago or so.
Yeah.
Okay, Terry, another question or comment?
Yeah, I was wondering, is there anyone besides Sitchin that thinks that planet is inhabitable?
Well, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, because that's way, way, way out there.
Yeah, but, you know, if you have a planet, you think about this, if this Earth was just loaded with active volcanoes, the temperature on this planet right here, right now, would be unbearable.
Yeah.
If it had, I mean, just if we were just loaded up with active volcanoes. But if you take this planet and spin it off out into a long orbit away from the sun, getting further from the sun would cause the average temperature on the planet to come back down to something possibly livable.
Yeah. And how do they think that would come anywhere near Earth?
I don't know. Who said it's coming near Earth?
All right. That's all I have. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. I don't understand. I didn't say it was coming near Earth. I don't know. I would answer, but I don't understand. Sorry, I guess it's because I'm old. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Dr. Rodney Gomez, who, when it comes to astronomy, I don't think you could get more establishment than Dr. Rodney Gomez. I mean, like I said, you know, you have scientists that go their whole career and wish they could get a peer-reviewed paper published. And they're really super fortunate if they have like four or five of them in their whole career. Dr. Rodney Gomez has 41 of them. And he is quoted or cited in over 1,000 other peer-reviewed articles and publications. So This is not a nobody. This is somebody really serious. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach, and that means, ladies and gentlemen, we only have a few minutes left. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to know what you think about this, okay? There are things we know about it, but then there's a lot of blanks at the end of what we know. We know for sure this black hole exists. This black hole of information has been created. We know that. I've documented it for you. I gave you the link to go check it out for yourself. We know the black hole exists. We know for sure that Dr. Rodney Gomez did a presentation at that conference. And we know it because National Geographic reported on it and reported what he said. And what he said has just gone like wildfire across the internet. After he did his presentation, they took his name off the list of speakers and updated their website without his name. So we know that. Now the question is, what is there about what he said they don't want to admit he was even there. What caused that? What is it? And I'll say to the American Astronomical Society, come on, man up. Put the guy's name back on there. He was there. We know he was there. We know what he said. It's been reported, and everybody knows it. You can't hide it. So, you know, you're standing there with egg on your face. Put his name back on the list. But even if you don't put his name back on the list, why'd you take it off? What is it about what Dr. Rodney Gomez told us that caused this? Something important in what he said caused this. Is it the four planets that are in our solar system that he talked about? Because we know they did suppress the discovery of several minor planets. We know that because the International Astronomical Union in their annual report stated that. They stated that the decision was made to suppress this information. Well, it's not suppressed now. He told us about it. Is that what caused this? Is it because he has documented with the evidence of the movement in the Kuiper Belt that there has to be another planet and it is four times the size of Earth and it's on a long elliptical orbit? Is that what's caused this? And if that's what's caused it, is it because it matches what Sitchin said? And what Sitchin said is it's a planet with intelligent beings on it. Now, I don't know if what Sitchin said is real, and I'm not trying to say that this corroborates Sitchin. It does corroborate the part about there being a planet on a long elliptical orbit out there. But then Sitchin goes on and tells us that it's inhabited by intelligent beings. Is it that they don't want us to make a connection between this science and Sitchin? And if so, the only reason that they would want that is because of their protocols about finding evidence of intelligence. Don't you see? Don't you see the connections? If, that's the problem. The problem is the ifs. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world of manufactured reality. It's manufactured, it's managed, it's manipulated. There is reality. You and I, what we get to know most of the time is manufactured reality. It's not the straight scoop. And here we've gotten from Dr. Rodney Gomez, I think, the straight scoop. But what does it tell us? What is there about this information that they don't want us to know? What is it? It's a mystery. It's a huge mystery. There are a lot of ifs in it. We do know the black hole exists now. And we do know the information that's in that black hole. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Jeff from Nashville.
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, it would seem, I don't know, I just may be talking out of whatever here, but it would seem to me that the whole idea of them removing him from the program and everything, some level of preemptive damage control.
Kind of dumb, though. You know, it really calls attention to it rather than controlled damage. I mean, I think you're right. I think it was kind of preemptive damage control. Oh, my God, let's just get his name off the list. You know, I think that's right. I think it probably is preemptive damage control. But how dumb can you be? It's going to draw attention to anybody that does any basic research. It's going to draw attention to the fact that he said something really important they didn't want us to know.
Well, they always know that few people that are paying attention are always going to notice this. They're just hoping that the bulk of the the bulk of the population doesn't notice it.
Well, they gotta know. I mean, come on. By now, after 12 years of this, they gotta know I'm gonna notice it. And they gotta know I'm gonna tell the world.
Yeah, they also know there's a lot of mushrooms out there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. So what do you think it is in what Dr. Gomez told us that was the offending bit of information? Is it the four planets, or is it this planet that's four times the size of Earth that's on a long elliptical orbit? What do you think it is?
Well, you're talking about something that's going to shake up a whole paradigm of taught science. I mean, you know, we've been taught that we have X number of planets in the solar system, you know, some of which become demoted to non-planets here and there, and gas giants and things like that, but which are bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they remove Pluto from the planetary list. But, you know, to throw four new planets in the mix, and, you know, I think it's just a matter that they don't, you know, on the onset, they don't want to admit that they didn't know this. I think that's one big thing right there.
Yeah.
You know, science has had this big stigma associated with it that it's some secret woo-woo thing that, you know, only this group of people knows, and what they tell us is all real, and they know absolute truth. You know, they know what they know up to what they know.
Mm-hmm. So...
You know, it's a big paradigm shift. I mean, imagine having to change all the high school and grade school and college textbooks, start teaching things differently.
Well, and it would also, I would think, change a lot of the models of the mechanics of our solar system. Why planets are moving like they are.
Basic theory of relativity and special theory of relativity to fudge for the asteroid belt and missing planets and stuff would all come into question.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see it would be a huge paradigm shifter. This is one of those cases, though, Jeff, where we see there is a black hole, we know there's a black hole, and in this case, we know what's in that black hole. We know what he said, because it was reported by National Geographic.
Oh, it definitely smells like a duck. We just don't know exactly what species of duck we're dealing with at this point.
You are right. Jeff, I got to run. We're at the end of the show. Thanks for the call.
Okay, take care.
All right. Folks, that's going to do it for this evening. We're out of time. I say it all the time. I'm here because you have a right to know. Help us keep bringing you information you're not going to find elsewhere. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.